Think back to your time, maybe as a teenager, or maybe during college or your young adult years. Do you remember thinking about the future and having some kind of expectation about how life was going to work out? I'm going to pursue a career as a doctor or a teacher or a carpenter or a musician, or my goal is to own my own business. I want to move to California, maybe a big city like New York. I want to be married by 25 or maybe 30. I want two kids, one boy and one girl. I want to own at least two season passes to the Patriots home games or some other such hope. Did you ever have those kind of thoughts, plans, or expectations? How'd that work out for you? Did life go according to your plans? For just about all of you, I'm sure it didn't work out the way you expected. It certainly didn't for me. Coming out of high school, I thought I would be a lawyer. By the time I graduated college, that had changed and I had no idea what I wanted to do. Fortunately, in those days, I could finish college without any debt, and jobs were plentiful. So I tried many different things, army, business, academia, and so on. I certainly never thought about being a pastor. My father was a pastor's kid, and that was the last thing I wanted to do. There are many other things that didn't turn out the way I expected them to. In fact, there are too many to even begin to recount. The reality is that life is a journey. We start at a certain point and we are never exactly sure how the road ahead is going to twist or turn or where we will hit a dead end and have to turn around. The same is true for all of the biblical characters. When Noah got married and began to raise his family, do you think he thought he was going to build this big ark and watch everyone around him perish in a flood? Or Abraham, do you think he anticipated everything that would happen when he left his home and town and family behind? Or Joseph, he grew up his father's favorite. Do you think he thought that he would ever be sold into slavery by his brothers and then become a ruler of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh? Or David, when he was tending sheep, do you think he dreamed about becoming king of Israel? Or Andrew and Peter, fishermen, like their fathers probably were before them, do you think they could ever anticipate leaving that behind in all that would happen when they followed Jesus? Can we really anticipate what is coming? Of course not. Life is a journey, and it's full of unexpected twists and turns that we can never fully see or anticipate. At a certain point, we can look back and see where we've been. As we approach our senior years, we have a natural tendency to look back more to where we have been. As youngsters, we are looking forward, imagining what it'll be like to live on our own or to have our own car. We have a whole life ahead of us. And then there is the reality for all of us of having to live in the moment. And sometimes we forget to do that because we are anticipating what is coming, or we're looking backwards at what we remember, or we just don't like what is going on in the present. The biblical story tells us that there is one constant in our journey. God is always the same. Hebrews 13:8 says it this way. Jesus Christ never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whether we are looking at the past or the present or the future, there is this one constant. Jesus is always the same, totally good, totally dependable, totally unchanging. His purposes are always the same. As we continue our own journey as a community of faith, let's look at how that plays out in the past, in the present, and in the future. So as we look at the past, how are we to treat it? The biblical story tells us that we are to remember and celebrate the past. Think about Israel in the Old Testament story. Genesis tells us that they grew up from a small family into a great nation of people as they were invited to live in Egypt by a thankful Pharaoh who appreciated Joseph's leadership during a difficult period, a time of great famine. But that all changed when the leadership changed. Because Israel grew so numerous as a people, the Egyptians grew to fear them and consequently enslaved them for over 400 years. But God did not abandon his people and heard their cry for help, and he raised up Moses to lead Israel to their freedom in the promised land. But Pharaoh refused to let them go, so God brought forth 10 plagues upon the land, each one increasingly harsh, until Pharaoh would release the Israelites. The 10th and harshest plague was that all firstborn of the children and animals in the land would perish. Exodus 12:21-23 records God's direction to Moses and the people. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourself according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. This is the beginning of the Passover celebration. God passed over the homes of the Israelites and spared their firstborn. This event is the key event in Israel's history. The month in which this occurred became the first month of the Jewish calendar. On the 10th day of that month, this day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. They were to remember and tell the story to their kids and to teach each succeeding generations. God wanted his people to remember and celebrate this Passover event in their past. The Passover celebration becomes a permanent reminder of God's deliverance, of his love, of his mercy, and his power shown to his people. Now think about Jesus when God was doing a new work, as recorded in the Gospels, as he laid a foundation for the church. Jesus had this incredible 3 years of ministry as he taught about God and his kingdom and healed people. Jesus taught that his life and purpose was in fulfillment of everything that had happened in the Old Testament. God's purposes hadn't changed, only the way he was accomplishing them. And then the early disciples were crushed when Jesus was put to death on the cross. Their dreams were shattered, but not for long, because Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. And the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus became the central truth of the Christian message. Peter sums it up this way in 1 Peter 2:24, just after Pentecost. Jesus personally carried away our sins in his own body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. You have been healed by his wounds. So Jesus became the final Passover sacrifice. By his death and resurrection, we are spared from God's judgment and welcomed into God's family in this life and for all eternity when we place our trust in Jesus. Jesus' death and resurrection becomes a key event in the Christian message. And Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper during his last meal with his disciples before the crucifixion. It was to be a continual reminder of God's love, grace, and forgiveness for all who would follow Jesus. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And the church has been celebrating communion now for almost 2,000 years as a permanent reminder of all God has done for us. And it is done in complete continuity with and in fulfillment of what God did at the first Passover. God doesn't change, and his purposes do not change. He still calls us to remember and celebrate the past. Now it's the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And the same is still true for us today as we take a new name, the Journey Church on the Common. Today, as we go forward, we are building on the foundation that began as a Central Baptist Church. Today, we're not forgetting the past, nor are we repudiating the past. Wes Dell, our moderator of the church, during all our preparation for this day, wrote this statement in our C3 covenant that we approved last May 22nd. Central Baptist Church was founded by 35 men and women from First Baptist Church of Lowell and First Baptist Church of South Chelmsford, with the shared vision of creating a house of worship more accessible to people living near the center of town. Thus, the beginning vision from the beginning was to serve God and community. And that is what it's all about today. As a Journey Church on the Common, we are recommitting ourselves to that original purpose to serve God and community. We are simply trying to make it relevant to today. So we're not forgetting the past. God calls us to remember and celebrate the past. After the service, I would invite you all to briefly visit the Ellis Room as a C3 committee has put together a history wall. It's not totally finished. We're still working on it. But the wall is there for us to remember and celebrate our past. Next, We need to look at the present and ask ourselves how we are to treat it. The biblical story tells us that we are to live in the present. So how do we do that? We can't live in the past. We have to live in the here and now, in the present. And sometimes we forget that. But we truly honor the past by living out in the present the values we remember and celebrate from the past. We embrace the values of the past and live them out in the present in a way that is relevant to the world in which we live. Think about Israel. God time and time again demonstrated His faithfulness, love, and power towards His people. Their deliverance from Egypt and a Passover celebration memorializing it. Wow. Crossing the Red Sea, provision of food and water in the wanderings in the desert, deliverance from Israel's enemies, and crossing the Jordan River are but a few examples of God's provision, protection, and leading. So how would Israel honor their past? God made it clear over and over again. In Deuteronomy 10, 12 to 13, Moses spells out how the Israelites can honor the past and how God loved them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord which I am commanding you today for your own good. God is saying to them, you can honor what I have done for you in the past by how you live in the present. Love and respect me and live the way I have directed you to live. Respect my guidelines and rules for living. And I love the last three words of those verses, for your own good. This is not some selfish, power-hungry move on God's part, but it is for Israel's own good. God is saying that if you live by my rules, that is the best possible way for you to live and enjoy life. So you will honor what I have done for you in the past if you will seek to live by my guidelines. And it will also be the best way for you, by the way. God doesn't stop there. There is one other He points out to Israel time and time again. The best example comes when Joshua leads Israel into the promised land by crossing the Jordan River with God's intervention, again dividing the waters. After crossing over, Joshua says to Israel, He did this so that all the nations of the earth might know the power of the Lord and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Joshua is saying that God intervened here again so that Israel might represent God to the world and the world would know who is the real true God. So living in the present really means loving God and serving Him and following His ways in the here and now. And as a result, faithfully representing Him to a world around. By focusing on the present and embracing God's values and how they live right now, Israel would truly honor and celebrate the past. Now let me ask you this. Were God's expectations any different for the church after Jesus' death and resurrection than they were for Israel? No, of course not. Why? Because Jesus Christ never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His purposes are always the same, even though the circumstances of life may change or be different. When Jesus is asked by one of the religious scribes what the greatest commandments are, He tells them to love God and love others as yourself. Jesus says it this way to His disciples in some of His final teachings before His crucifixion. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We will honor Jesus' sacrifice on the cross in the present moment in which we live by loving God, serving Him, and following His ways in the here and now, and thereby faithfully representing Him to the world around. God's expectations for the church to live in the present were essentially the same as His expectations for Israel. Obey His commands, love Him and love others, and represent Him to a watching world. The only difference is that we look to the cross as the ultimate statement of God's love, grace, and forgiveness. Jesus' death, resurrection, the cross, is the complete fulfillment of what God did for Israel in that first Passover celebration. God passed over the households of the Israelites to spare their firstborn. And now God passes over the selfishness and greed and sin of anyone who commits their lives to following Jesus. Jesus' death and resurrection becomes a central theme of the church's preaching. Paul summarizes his preaching and the preaching of the early church this way in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. I passed on to you what was most important, what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and He was raised from the dead on the third day, as the Scripture said. You see this in all of the early preaching recorded in Acts. Peter's sermon at Pentecost. Peter's preaching at the crowds in the temple in Acts 3. Peter's talk with the Ethiopian. Philip's talk with the Ethiopian in Acts 8. Paul's conversion in Acts 9. Peter's conversation with the Roman centurion in Acts 10. And Paul's preaching in the various cities of Asia Minor, which is today Turkey, throughout the remainder of Acts. The early church honored the past, Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, by making it the heart of their preaching. And it is any different for us today? We have already said that today, as Journey Church on the Common, we are building upon the historic roots of Central Baptist Church, committed to serving God and community. If you would pick up the hymnal in the pew rack in front of you and open up to the front cover, there you will find the Central Baptist Church covenant that was a part of the bylaws during the church's 150th anniversary celebration in 1997. It's a little long, a little wordy, but if you read it carefully, there are three key statements that summarize its primary values. One, to cultivate a life of devotion to God and to our Savior Jesus Christ. We are committed to obeying God and proclaiming Jesus as Savior, as the only one who can truly connect us to God. Two, to maintain in all our relations with our fellow members an attitude of spiritual integrity, sympathy, and love. We're committed to loving God and loving others. Three, to cooperate with interests and earnestness in the redemptive, missionary, and social tasks of our church, in its role as part of the kingdom of God. We are called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the community and world around us in both word and deed. This covenant is absolutely consistent with the founder's vision. When the church wrote this covenant, it was remembering and celebrating the original purposes of Central Baptist. And so now, listen to the vision of the Journey Church on the Common spelled out in our C3 covenant and found on our website. Our goal as a gathering of God's people is to bring new life and renewal by creating an environment where unchurched people feel comfortable and at home, where individuals and families become excited about growing into strong followers of Jesus, and where we are committed to selflessly serving Chelmsford and the surrounding communities. Think about this. We're all committed to obeying God and proclaiming Jesus, growing into strong followers of Jesus. We're committed to serving the community around us and creating an environment where people can hear about Jesus. We live in a post-Christian world where people don't go to church and don't know anything about the gospel. So we are committed to creating an environment and points of contact where people can truly begin to hear about Jesus in a way that makes sense to them. By committing to this task, we are remembering and celebrating our past and carrying on the mandate and pattern of the early church. Jesus Christ never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Growing older, now I know it's hard to tell that because I'm as young and as handsome as ever. I know that there is an inherent tendency to focus on the past in my memories from the past. And that is natural because more of my life is behind me than ahead of me in this life. But if I live in the past, then I will miss the many gifts God has for me in the present, and I will not be honoring the past. My uncle and grandfather were ministers who proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. My parents passed on that heritage of faith. The best way I can honor that heritage is to continue to live in the present and serve Jesus. That's why I want to continue to learn new things. Starting sax lessons this year and trying out other new projects. I want to live in the present. That's why I'm re-entering ministry at 64, because I want to continue to serve Jesus and honor His name and to put to use His gifts and abilities He's given me. Retirement should never be about stopping to serve Jesus, but more about using our gifts and experiences to find new ways to serve Jesus, because now we have more time than at any point in the recent past. And we have greater life experience. We honor the past when we live in the present to the best that we can. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. That is to continue to serve Jesus in his present life. Paul is saying that he has more to do in this present life. That brings us to our final thought. The Bible tells us that we will have hope for the future only if we live in the present. When we are younger, we spend much more time thinking about the future. We prepare for it. We dream about it. We try to imagine how much better our lives will be when we step into the future. I know. I did a lot of that. Life will be great when I get married. Oh, for the first few years, it wasn't all that great, let me tell you. But it did get a lot better. Life will be exciting when I figure out what to do for work. I couldn't wait until I started pastoring. Wow, I'll be doing God's work. Let me tell you, life doesn't necessarily get better. People in churches can be pretty mean and nasty, and I found that out, that I can have a really bad attitude also. Don't take that personally. You all here have been really great with me. But the point is this, if we are living and constantly thinking about the future, then we're going to miss many of the great things that are before us, living right here in the present. And if we're living for the future, we're not going to really honor the past. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that if we live in the present, serving and following Jesus and loving others right now, we will have a strong hope for the future. But if we are only living for the future, we are going to miss everything God has for us right now at this moment. Remember, life is a journey, and there are many twists and turns along the way. And we don't know what the future holds in this life. Let me just briefly highlight how that was true for Israel, the early church, and how it is still true for us today. Moses passed on these words to Israel in Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God by keeping all the commands I am giving you today, the Lord your God will exalt you above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed wherever you go, both in coming and in going. Moses was saying to the Israelites, hope for your future will come if you live for God in the present. If you live for God in the present, you don't have to worry about the future. Paul passes on these words to the early church and really to us today also in Romans 8. Verses 31 to 32 and 38 and 39. What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God who gave us Christ also give us everything else? And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying if we really live for Jesus in the present, we will never have to worry about anything in the future. Even in this uncertain world we have today. But if we are living in the past or in the future, we'll miss and not understand the living hope God wants us to give us for the future. And finally, for us today, as we start on this new journey of faith, as the Journey Church on the Common, Jesus gives us this promise found in Matthew 16:18. If we as a church will commit our lives and our gifts and our hearts to serve and proclaim Jesus as the Son of the living God, as the only one to bring us into relationship to Almighty God, then Jesus promises this, and upon this rock, this truth, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not overcome it. That's our hope for the future. But it only becomes our hope if we fully live in the present and pursue what God is calling us to as a church. We can't live in the past. We remember it. We celebrate it. Our purposes are still the same as the past, but we have to live in the present. And if we do that, God promises a bright future. God is absolutely consistent all through history in his dealings with Israel, the early church, and with us today. His message is the same. We remember and celebrate the past because the foundation of our faith is found at the cross. but we live fully in the present, serving God and others right now. And if we do that, then we will have a sure hope for the future. If we live any other way, we miss it all. Everything we're doing today is done with the intent to truly remember and celebrate the past. To celebrate the founders and Central Baptists, and to celebrate the cross of Jesus Christ. Remember Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.